It is good to be here once again, as on the first day of the week, as we're here to study God's Word, and not only study God's Word, put it to practice in our lives. That's very important. We not only need to know the Word, but we need to be doers of the Word, James tells us, and not hearers only. If we are just hearers only and not doers, Apostle James tells us that we are deceiving ourselves. So we do want to put it to practice in our lives and grow towards perfection, and that's what it's all about. I do want to once again thank the Perkins family for being here. Brother Joseph and Shirley have been sick, and we're glad that they're able to be with us this morning. I want to continue my thought on the subject of reasons why some are not Christians. Reasons why some are not Christians. And usually, in every congregation, we have people who will come to church time after time and not obey the gospel. Like I made a statement last week, I worked with a gentleman, and he went to church with his wife for about 25 or 30 years. And he wasn't a Christian, and I wondered why, and I asked him. I mean, a nice guy, a good person, give you the shirt off his back, and he never would obey the gospel. So I thought about that. And I asked him, why won't you obey the gospel? How come you don't obey? He just kind of laughed it off. And I just wondered about that, why some are not Christian. And we know why some are not, because some people just love sin. And they'll just tell you. I've had people to tell me, I love to drink, I love to party, I love to go to clubs, I'm unscripturally married, and I'm not going to leave the one I'm married to, because you explain to them, you know, once you get married, you know, you just can't up and leave your spouse because you get tired of them. Or one man said he got married too young and didn't know what he was doing, and just up and they just split it up. And I said, well, you can't do that. You cannot. You need to try to go back together if you can, because you can't marry again. So, and then there's some people who just tell you, he would come to church, and my lessons was pretty firm. I'm not going to say too hard. I won't say that. They're just firm. You take the Apostle Paul and those apostles, man, they preached. I probably can't touch those guys. But they preached. But my lessons are firm, and some of the members were saying, the reason why so-and-so won't obey the gospel of Brother Woods' sermons are just too hard. That's what they said. Well, he told me this, he said, and he told them, he said, it's not his sermons. I'm glad somebody, I'm just thankful somebody would take up a preacher sometimes. He said, it's not his sermons. He said, I just love to drink. And I love to drink my beer and my liquor, and I'm not going to stop. And that's what he told me. So we find there are some people who just love sin. We know the reason why they're not Christians. But there's other people who don't drink. They don't smoke cigarettes. They don't smoke marijuana. They don't carouse. They don't party. They don't club. They're nice, they're kind, you can call them up and ask them to help me or whatever, and they'll be right there, and they go to church every Sunday, they're not Christians, and I wondered why. I wondered why. In other words, here are a group of people who don't even have the baggages that some people have. You know what I'm talking about, baggages, and they're not Christians. And I wondered why. And I didn't have the answer. This lesson is not mine. I got it from another preacher. we can preach other men's sermons if it's the truth. We got to preach the same thing anyhow. And I asked him, I asked why. And he said, well, there's some outliers by Leon Brownlow, that is, you did get that when I am you. That was back years ago. When I first started, I got into preaching. And so I went to the bookstore on Morgantown Road, the Truth Bookstore. Now it's on the Lover's Lane. They call it One Stone. I went to the bookstore and got that outline, and there it was right there. Reasons why some are not Christians are reasons why some are not Christians are not conscious of their lost state and consequently feel no danger of being eternally lost. Such are not alarmed. They're not conscious of their lost state. They think they're okay. They think that they're saved and don't have to be baptized. And we talked about all those scriptures last week of Romans 3:23. We talked about the scriptures and we talked about 1 John 1:10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is just not in us. Everybody needs the blood of Christ. And of course, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what that is. And we looked at 1 John 1:10, and we looked at John 8:21. You can read those scriptures again if you like. We already talked about those. I'm not going to go back and read them all, but there they are, right there. Romans 3:23. It don't make no difference if a man's Jew or Gentile. We all need Christ. We all need it. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us, because the Bible says we sin. We need to make it right. And then John 8:21, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I'm going away, and you're going to seek me, and you won't find me. He went back to heaven. And he said, Where I go, you cannot come. If you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. All right. And then we looked at number two, reasons why some are not Christians. See no need in obeying the gospel and being born again. And we read those scriptures. Everybody needs to be born again. John 3:3-5, Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He was a smart man, ruler of the Jews. But he thought he had to go back into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. You must be born from above. But that goes to show you, just because a man's smart, that don't mean he knows anything about the spiritual things. He needs to get in the book. He needs to study the Bible. Okay, and so we talked about that scripture there. And then number three is where we're going to begin. Reasons why some are not Christians. The mind is unsettled about the truths of the Bible, secret skepticism. But the scriptures have been given by inspiration. Secret skepticism. They doubt about religious doctrine. I know that's what they're saying, but there's secret skepticism. But the scriptures have been given by inspiration. If you look at 2 Timothy 3, is where we want to begin the lesson. 2 Timothy Chapter 3, we can quote this here, but I want to kind of explain some of this here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'll get over there here in a minute. Give me just a few minutes here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse 16. It's good to have the scriptures memorized, but it's good to go ahead and read them, and that way people know it's right there. Where Paul tells the preacher Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I'm talking loud so that we pick up on the tape there. But this machine I got makes a little bit of noise. All scripture, Old and New Testament, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, 2 Timothy 3:16, the word here, inspired. Inspired means that the Holy Spirit guided men as they wrote God's word. The Holy Spirit guided these men. Somebody said, well, how do you know the Bible is right? How, you know, some any man could write this. And no. The Holy Spirit guided these men as they wrote. The Holy Spirit protected them from writing any error. They were protected. They were protected by God. The Bible is right. And I tell people, any man who differed with it is just wrong. The Bible is right. These men were protected. They didn't teach no one no error writing down, no false teacher they wrote down. All right. God's word is for teaching. God's word is for teaching. Teaching means that the scriptures tells men what God wants them to do. See, it's going to tell us what God wants us to do. I guess that's why a lot of people don't want to read it. They feel like that if I don't know and I'm ignorant, God will excuse me. But no, he will not either. If you're out there listening, I'm telling you, God won't excuse ignorance. You need to know. You need to come and assemble with God's people. Ignorance is no excuse for wrongdoing. We have earthly examples of that. Let's say, for instance, I'm driving my automobile, and on some of these streets, it's, 20 miles per hour? Some of them 15. Well, let's say, for instance, I didn't know what the speed limit, I didn't know the speed limit was 15 miles per hour down through here. You know what that police going to do when he pulled me over? I'm sorry. You're going to have to be looking. You're going to have to be watching. It's 15, and you was doing 30. Now, he might be kind enough to warn me, but he could give me a ticket. So God's word is for teaching. Teaching means that the scriptures tell men what God wants them to do. It tells us about the family life. It's right here in the Bible, how a man is to treat his wife. It tells us everything that the man, we are men and husbands, ought to put our wives first above our own needs. It's right here in the Bible. We don't put them before Christ, but we put our wives before our own needs. We put them first. We put our children before our own needs. Being a leader, that's part of leadership. That's the good part of leadership. You get to put your wife first. You put her first. You love her as Christ loved the church. He gave his life up for the church. If necessary, a man should give his life for his wife. If somebody attacks her, or somebody knocks on the door, and somebody want to break in the house, I don't send her, Phyllis. I go to the door. Because I'm the leader. So it tells us everything. See, it tells a man how to treat his children. You fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, it tells us how to treat our children. It tells children how they must, what they must do in the home. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Everything is right here. It's for teaching. The Bible teaches men everything they need to know about God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. About salvation. Tells us what to do to be saved. Go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. It's other scriptures that tell us, but go to the book of Acts, the book of conversion. It tells us what to do to be saved, about the church, about worship. It tells us how to worship. Just follow the pattern. If you want to know whether or not your worship is acceptable to God, look at the Bible. Look at the Corinthian church. Look at the Ephesians. Look at the Bible, the examples that we have. Christian living, and it tells us about Christian living and the hereafter. It tells us even about the hereafter. What's going to happen to us what's going to happen to this world? Going to all be burned up. Peter talks about that. It tells us about the hereafter. Some man wrote a song one time. Said he don't know what's above the sky. He didn't know. Read the Bible. Said he's scared. I talked to a guy, another guy I work with. He said, I don't know what's going to happen to me, you know, after I die. And I explained to him what's going to happen. He wasn't a Christian. Well, bless his heart, he got killed. Got hit by, got between a loading dock and a semi tractor trailer. Got between that dock and the man didn't see him and crushed him. Sure did. He quit the company that we worked, that I worked for, and went and got another job and got killed out in Texas. But anyway, him and I were talking. He said, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. And I began to explain to him, when one dies, his soul goes to Hades. And there's a Hades for the righteous. There's a Hades for the wicked. Hades for the righteous is paradise. And this two separate places. And you wait there until the judgment day, and you're going to be judged. Everybody's going to be judged. Every man. He said, oh, you're scaring me. But he wasn't scared enough to obey the gospel. They didn't baptize him. So Christ, it tells us about Christian living and the hereafter. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. When there is no scripture, I don't believe it. And don't you believe it. Christianity is a teaching religion. Paul tells us that it gives us reproof. Reproof means the word of God convicts one of wrongs. It convicts us of wrongs. I can look into the word of God and I can know if I'm right with God or not. It's just like a mirror. I can see myself. I can see me. I can go deep down in my heart and soul and I can see me. That's why I stay in the book. I want to see me. Because I want to make corrections. I want to get right. I don't want to die outside of, wrong with God. We got to make those things right. We all make mistakes. We all sin. But we got to be working on our lives so we can get better. So reproof means the word of God convicts one of wrong. One man told me one time after we got through with the sermon, he made a statement about... oh man, that sermon really, really got to me. Well, that's what it's supposed to do. It's got to get to us. In other words, it changes us. When we listen to it and we see things that we need to work on, we just change. I have to change. The man that's standing in the pulpit, if he think the lesson is not for him, it's for everybody. The word of God teaches what is right and wrong. If you want to know what's right and what's wrong, go to the Bible. It'll tell us. When one sins, he must be rebuked, Paul tells us. Because the Bible is approved and rebuked. When one sins, he must be rebuked or reminded of what the will of God is. It could be, it don't have to be no hard rebuke, but he needs to be rebuked. We need to get rid of our strange ideas and obey the Bible. If one don't study the Bible, the Word of God, he or she gonna have some strange ideas. And you talk with people and deal with people and you listen to them and you ask, I'm just, where did that come from? It didn't come. Where would that attitude come from? It didn't come from God. The Word of God reveals God's will. It shows a man his sin. That's what he does. Thank God. Thank God. So God could, he's not that type of God, but he could not tell us and not give us the instruction book. And, that would be bad for us. He talks about correction. Correction means straighten one out when he has gone astray. It corrects us. It straightens us out. I've been straightened out. Thank God. The one who sins must not only be shown that his action is sin, that the actions are sin, he must be shown the right way to live. This is correction. See, you show him it's wrong, but you show him what he needs to do to make it right. You remember, and if I have to do this lesson next week, I'm going to get nowhere. But you remember the man who, I think it was Simon, maybe? He thought that he could buy the laying on of the apostles' hand with money. See, that's something money can't do. Right after he obeyed the gospel, he sinned. And he thought he wanted the gift of laying on of the apostles' hands, and Peter told him, your money perish with you. That's what he told him. And said, your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart, you got to repent. Basically what he was saying. But he sinned. And you know what he said? He didn't fight it. He said, pray for me that none of these things will happen to me. So once people sin, we need to show them where they've done wrong in a loving way. Reproof emphasizes the negative side. Correction emphasizes the positive side. See, we read this 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 sometimes and just jump through it, but I want to take some time to explain what he's talking about here. Instruction, which is in righteousness, means the Christian must be trained in righteousness. That's why preachers need to teach the whole counsel of God. People don't know unless you teach them. Sometimes we assume that people know something. Because maybe we know, that don't mean they know. We just assume they know. Sometimes it's little bitty elementary things that the dastard knows. And sometimes people been in church for a long time and they don't know. You know why? They haven't been taught. Sometimes they don't come to church enough to be taught. And people don't come, how can they be taught? Instruction is the same word as discipline in Ephesians 6 and 4. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, I think that's what it says there, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 4. Right? 6 and 4. The Christian must live right in the sight of God. We have to live right. There is no way that we're going to go to heaven by continually repeating the same thing over and over and over and not growing towards perfection. And that's why we got to live right in the sight of God. That's why we don't please men. There's going to be some times in your Christian life you may have to stand alone on the secular job, on juror duty. Oh man, it's beginning to be a mess now. You may have to stand alone. We can't please men. It's such a pity that they put the judge out here. I didn't see it, but somebody told me that they put her in jail because she wouldn't marry the same-sex marriages. Some of us may go. You get into preaching, just be ready for anything. Because he judge anything like that, whether you be a judge, a preacher, an elder, there may be some people come to you, the elders, or the preacher, and want the preacher to marry them, and they're two women. And they've been coming, say they've been coming to church for, let's say, 5 or 6 years. And now they come to you, and you're preaching, and they want you to marry them. Now, you're going to be in trouble with the court. But you know, we can't marry nothing like that. My goodness. And they put Peter and John in jail, in prison. If you remember, the high authorities told them, you're going to have to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. We want you to stop it. And some of them are afraid of you. And in some of those foreign countries, they'll cut your head off. Are you willing to get cut up, chopped up, throat cut for Jesus? Just remember, they can kill the body, but they can't touch the soul. All they can do is kill your body. We're going to get another one in there one day. Go for it. But I came back down, and I'm not going to marry two men. I'm not going to marry two women. I'm not going to marry somebody, perhaps, that's unscripturally married after you talk to them. We have to take a stand. The Word of God teaches man everything that he needs to know about God. It teaches us. It teaches us to be happy. If I'm not happy, it's my fault. If you're not happy, it's your fault. I know sometimes people may not be because they're babes in Christ and need to be taught, but Paul rejoiced in the Lord always. He said, again, I say rejoice. And if we're going to lead people to Christ, and they look at us, and they look at our lifestyle, and they see that we're not happy, and even the Pharisees, he told them, said, when you fast, don't have a long countenance. See, God wants us to be happy. I may not have all the fine things, but God wants me to be happy, and I'm going to be happy. And sometimes people say, well, if I get this over here, I'll be happy. If I get that, I'll be happy. Happiness comes from within. Nothing wrong with those things. God wants us to have them. That's why he put them here for us. But we need to be happy. The scriptures must be studied, believed, and obeyed. If we don't study them and we don't believe them and we don't obey those scriptures, they're not going to do us much good. We can know them, but we got to obey them. Now, I know that's a little dim, and maybe one of these days I'll do something about this background where it could be a little bit darker there. But reasons why some are not Christians, the feeling that they cannot hold out, so there is no need to try. People just tell you, I can't hold that one. They call me brother, then I need Christians. It could be brother, like of some nationality, this, that, and other. But my point is this, they say that they cannot hold out. Now, if you remember, I believe 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which is able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so Paul was telling the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the various temptations they were experiencing were normal. They were just normal. All temptations, and as far as the temptation, everybody is going to be tempted by the devil. There's not a sin to be tempted. Now, of course, you don't go looking for the temptation. Let me clear that up. There's not a sin to be tempted. The sin lies in yielding to the temptation. And so it is, God gives us a way of escape. He will provide the escape route. And we studied in our Bible study back maybe years ago in one of the books that we had that some people, they don't want no escape route. They don't even want to look for it, because they want to go ahead and do what they want to do. But God, he will provide us the way out. We have to look for that way. Okay? Another reason why people don't obey the gospel. evil influence of some professed Christians. Evil influence of some professed Christians. Now I'm going to read just a little bit further than that. In Matthew chapter 18, let's read verses 1 through 6. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. Sometimes people, they won't know, of course they shouldn't do that, they'll watch us and see that we're not perhaps doing what we should do, and they say, well, I don't want none of that. I can go to heaven. They can go to heaven that way. I can go what I'm doing. But the thing is, neither one of them going if they not obey God. So we find in Matthew chapter 18, evil influence of some professed Christians. And look at verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them. So Jesus would even use children for a good example. You know why? Because children are honest. They tell you the truth. You know, they do something wrong. A lot of times, they just tell you. And said, surely, and humility too, by the way, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So to go to heaven, we must change our attitude. We got to change our attitude. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, I think the old King James may say stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Now here in Matthew 18 and verse 3, Jesus said, in other words, unless you change your attitude, Jesus is telling us, change your attitude and become humble like this child, you will not be in the kingdom of heaven. We've got to change attitudes and humble ourselves. That's the way God has it fixed. As we look at verse 3, another thought is this. The Christian must forget himself in service to God and his fellow man. The Christian must forget himself in service to God and his fellow man. We have to get rid of self, which that's going to be tough sometimes. Selfishness. God wants us to get rid of that. As we look at this, another thought is this. Greatness in the kingdom of God comes through service. Do you want to know who's the greatest in the kingdom? It is not the one who's being served, but the ones who serve the most. So greatness is the one who serves the most, not through being master or having status, like those kings were in biblical days. And then we read verses 4 through 6. And verse 6. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin or to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. To stumble means to lead into sin. That's what it means to stumble. Jesus is showing how wicked it is to cause someone to sin and fall away from God, putting in his path enticements. So we don't want to tempt nobody and do wrong in no kind of way. Jesus said, don't do that. And that millstone was a pretty big stone. I think I was reading some information about it, like they use it for a grinding stone or something. It was a millstone. Can you picture a big stone and put it around your tie, that rope to the stone, put it around your neck and throw you into the sea? So if we caused one to stumble, it would have been better if a millstone were hung around our necks and that we drown into the depth of the sea. And even causing one to stumble, I do want to say this. Now, we cannot control what people think about us as far as I'm getting into immodest apparel, and now it's hot and it's summertime, and women and men too, because men can cause women to lust for them, Christians. We need to dress right. We need to dress according to the scriptures. And I know they don't make a lot of clothes for Christians anymore. But I will say this, women need to be taught that if you cause one to lust for your body because you're not dressed right, you're wrong. He's wrong for lusting, but you're wrong too. If a man causes a woman to lust for his body, and he causes that, he's wrong. He can go to the gym all he wants to be beefed up and want somebody to see his body. What's this motive behind all of this? And he's a Christian. Are we to go around looking sexy? No. Christians don't go around looking sexy. And said a preacher one time, said he was a beefed up guy, and said he'd preach and have a pretty tight shirt on, and said he'd get up there and kind of make stress a point and see them big muscles in his arm turning them women on. Isn't it awful? That's awful to do that. He's causing them to sin. Now, if he's dressed right and they're thinking it's wrong, that's on them. He's doing what he needs to do. But we have to be careful along that line. The evil influence of some professed Christians, and we gave that scripture, should be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Another reason why, as we look at this here, I'm going to just go ahead and try to finish this. Another reason why many people are not Christians, love of the world, love for this world's goods, are pleasure, are honors. 1 John 2:15, you know what that tells us. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. If I love the world, the sinful things of the world, I will not be with Jesus. I can't love the world. I cannot love materialism. I cannot put materialism before Christ. Can't do it. I can't serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. And then John 12, 42 and 43. Let's look at that. John chapter 12, the gospel according to John. John chapter 12 and 42. John 12, 42. We cannot love the world. We're going to have to take a stand for Jesus. And many times you may have to stand alone. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. For they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. That's what Jesus said about it. We want to love the Lord above anything and anybody. We want to put him first in our lives. And then we find in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4. I think that's what we have here. Let's look at that one. We got to put him first in our lives. Because, see, when we die, we can't change. We want to make sure we get it right before we die. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4 here, Paul was writing to the preacher. Man's going to preach. He's going to have to stay in the book. He's going to have to study it. He's going to have to apply it. He's going to have to obey God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's look at verse 4 here. I think that's right. 2 Timothy 3, 4. Oh, yeah, he's right. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4. He talks about traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. See there? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. People, they love the pleasure. They rather than love this. Paul has said that people cannot make it in. Nothing wrong with sports. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with sports. But people, man, they'll drive to Louisville. They'll drive to Lexington, them games. And man, they can drive 2 miles to church. And sometimes Christians do that also. I've had it to happen. Brother, where was you at? Oh, I went to the game. They had it. You go to church? No, I didn't go to church. Love is a pleasure rather than love is of God. And so it is. We just have to, that's another lesson right there. But anyway, I did finish the one that I had had, and that's part two, this is. And so those are reasons why some are not Christian. Now, we are, those of us who are Christians, be faithful unto the end. Because we got to be faithful until the end to go to heaven. If you're not a Christian, and we all in here are children of God except the children. And babies, we don't baptize babies. Because babies don't have no sins. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. What are you baptizing? I tell people, man, what are you baptizing a baby for? They don't have any sins. And in the Catholic Church, they sprinkle babies. So what are you sprinkling the baby for? The baby's crying and squalling and telling you, trying to tell you, I don't want that water on my head. Leave me alone. No. Baby don't have no sin. He's pouring water on the baby's head. Babies don't have, if babies die, their soul goes straight to paradise. They have no sin. Why don't people read the Bible? I don't care what that priest said. Babies don't have no sin. And I work with some people who remember the Catholic Church, and babies don't have any. And if you are a Christian and gone back into the world, back to sin, please make it right. While together we stand and sing, please come.